UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Diabetes is an important health problem that can carry with it ocular complications. These complications associated with diabetes are progressively and rapidly becoming the world's most significant cause of morbidity and are preventable with early detection and timely treatment. My guest today is Dr. Shilpa Register. She's a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Ophthalmology at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Register. So tell us about some of the ocular complications associated with diabetes.
Well, thank you, Melanie. With diabetes, there are actually a lot of complications. I think the first thing that most people think about is the diabetic retinopathy that comes from the systemic consequences. But in addition, there's higher likelihood of infections, greater incidence of cataracts, and a variety of other ocular-related issues, including, you know, vision fluctuations and things of that nature that really are clues for patients to see their eye care provider to ensure that they're receiving the care that they need and ensure that we can catch things pretty early.
Is there a strong relationship between chronic hyperglycemia, if they're having trouble controlling their blood glucose, and the development of diabetic retinopathy?
There is. You know, the less control that a patient is and the longer that they've had diabetes, the more likelihood they have of diabetic retinopathy. So we have many times patients who have only been diagnosed and on treatment for less than 2 or 3 years and have significant diabetic retinopathy because of the swings in their blood glucose. And then we have others that can go 10 to 15 years without having some complications. So I think the key for us and what I tell patients a lot of time is that steady, constant control. So not having those spikes throughout the day really will definitely help.
Speak about some of the current therapies, including metabolic control or glycemic control.
So as far as current therapies for optometrists and ophthalmologists, we definitely, when we see our patients, we try to ensure that we coordinate care with the endocrinologist and ensure that we've got a good A1C and a good understanding of how long they've had diabetes and how well it's been controlled. On our end, a lot of the treatment is based on the grade and the stage of the diabetic retinopathy. Many times it's monitoring patients, but depending on the severity, there is sometimes the need for intravitreal injections as well as other surgical treatment for our patients. You know, what I think the key that I always tell my patients are, if you can see a difference in your vision, then it likely is a little bit too late. So a lot of it for me goes into kind of prevention and ensuring that they are getting checked even if they're not having any kind of symptoms. So that if we're starting to see some bleeding in the back of the eye, that we can go ahead and work with the healthcare team to ensure that we're getting their blood sugar back down to where we need it to be.
And speak about the intravitreal medication or injections for a minute. When are those indicated?
So intravitreal injections are indicated both for diabetic macular edema as well as proliferative diabetic retinopathy. So the diabetic macular edema can really happen at any stage of the retinopathy, and that's swelling in the macula or fluid accumulation that sometimes can affect the patient's vision, but oftentimes doesn't. The proliferative diabetic retinopathy is more later stage diabetic retinopathy. So you have two different classifications, non-proliferative and proliferative. With the proliferative diabetic retinopathy, you have hypoxia to the retina, as well as new blood vessel growth. And those new blood vessels are quite weak, so they tend to bleed. And with that bleeding comes loss of vision. The intravitreal injections that our ophthalmologists do will help to reduce that bleeding and hopefully improve their vision back to where at least it was. And then that coordinated with the endocrinologist and the medical management should hopefully get us to a better point.
Are those temporary? Do they have to be redone?
Typically, they do need to be redone. It really just depends on how well the patient is controlled.
And are there complications such as elevated intraocular pressure or infection? Can those occur with intravitreal steroids?
With IV steroids, yeah, most definitely your pressure can go up, and infection is always a risk with any kind of surgical procedure or anything that you're putting in the eye. With diabetics, that's a little bit higher because their healing rate isn't as good. We definitely, when we do the intravitreal injections, we do some topical antibiotics and sometimes oral antibiotics as well, just prophylactically. But I typically haven't seen very many complications.
So then speak about cataracts and glaucoma as ocular manifestations of diabetes, and where do they come in?
So I'll start with cataracts because there's definitely a correlation with cataracts and diabetes. With the systemic effects of diabetes, most of our patients will get cataracts earlier and usually more severe. That's just more due to their overall health and their ability to kind of process the antioxidants as well. So with diabetics, they do get cataracts earlier. They also are at a little bit of higher risk for postoperative infections as well in cataract surgery. So with cataract surgery, we really need to make sure that our diabetics are in the best control that they possibly can be, so that one, when we go in for the cataract surgery, everything goes well, and that there aren't any other risks for infection, as well as neovascular glaucoma is a risk. And so that's a risk post-cataract surgery, but it's also a risk kind of in general. So that's a different type of glaucoma than kind of, I would say, your typical open-angle glaucoma. The neovascular glaucoma is due to new blood vessel growth again, and so that goes hand-in-hand with that proliferative retinopathy and that body's ability or inability to get enough oxygen to the tissues as it needs to. So those are kind of your two major risks that also go hand-in-hand with the diabetes.
And speak about the current therapy for glaucoma neuropathy and for cataract. What are you doing?
So for cataracts, typically cataract surgery is our number one thing, and it really depends on, for my diabetics in particular, if they're under good control is number one. But then also for cataracts in general, it depends on how that cataract is affecting their daily activities. So we want to make sure that it's visually significant, that it's interfering with driving or distance or something of that nature, as well as sometimes cataract can cause your pressure to go up. So there's a lot of different things that we look at. We discuss the risks and benefits with patients, and the cataract surgery typically takes, for the patient, it'll take a few hours technically from pre-op to when it's done. But it's an outpatient procedure, and then we do all of the post-operative care as well. For glaucoma, we usually will do some topical drops, glaucoma drops for the patient, and there's a variety of different types of drops. So depending on the patient's anatomy, depending on their race, their risk factors, their compliance, we can mix up a different set of glaucoma meds that really will keep that pressure under control. And for glaucoma patients, we watch them anywhere from every 3 months to every 6 months, depending on how severe the glaucoma is and how compliant the patient is. For diabetes, for retinopathy, we watch patients anywhere from every 3 months to every week, depending on, again, how bad that retinopathy is. So, I think that the key for me is coordination of care among all of our professionals and ensuring that when you've got a patient in the chair, that you're checking to make sure that they are getting their annual eye exam. When I see my patients, I make sure that they are always getting their annual physical, that they're getting their lab work done, that they've seen their endocrinologist, that, if they need to see a podiatrist or a dentist, that they've done that as well and coordinate with the pharmacist as well. So I think, with so many different healthcare providers that are interacting with this one patient with diabetes, if we can all be really cognizant of making sure that we're asking these questions, then hopefully we can ensure that the patient is receiving that preventive care, because prevention is really number one. And I think fairly recently the CDC estimated that over half patients with diabetes weren't even receiving any annual eye exam, and that early detection can really reduce the risk of blindness by almost 95%. So it's a huge difference that we can make in our population.
In the last few minutes, Dr. Register, how can a community physician refer a patient to UAB Medicine?
So a community physician can refer a patient over to us a couple of different ways. If you go to the website, the UAB Medicine website, there is a provider phone number there that is puts you in touch with a staff member who can decide which area or which location might be most convenient for your patient and ensure that we take their insurance. They can always call Callahan Eye Hospital directly as well and make an appointment at 325-8620, I believe. And I know for Callahan, at least, we have several locations. So we have a location out in Bessemer, location out on 280. We're in St. Vincent's and then our downtown location as well. So we're hoping to make it convenient for all of our patients to be able to get the care that they need.
And tell us about your team. Why is UAB so great to work with?
Well, UAB has so many great things. I think one is we are a very supportive team of providers. I think everybody thinks of their patients first and foremost, which makes a big difference, I think, in clinical care and our commitment to our patients. You know, we're kind of there. In my mind, I'm there 24/7 for my patients, even though technically it may be on the books less than that. But, you know, we're able to really coordinate across all of the different providers as well. And so having that ability to talk to an endocrinologist and call them, you know, if I needed to for a patient or get lab work or any other kind of medical records, it's very, very easy within the UAB system. We have a lot of continuing education. We have a lot of grand rounds and a lot of ways that allow us to stay up to date with the newest trends that are going on, as well as just the newest statistics to ensure that we're ready for whatever diseases that are going to be coming our way.
Thank you so much for being on with us today, Dr. Register. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Callahan Eye Hospital by calling 844-UAB-EYES. That's 844-325-8620. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.